ورحمة الله وبركاته.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, the 10th divinely appointed Imam, peace and blessings upon him. Now, we find that as the Imams continue forward, of course, starting from Imam Ali alayhi salam onwards, we find that the jurisprudential aspect was quite important. Now, of course, Islam is a religion which encompasses all the various different aspects of human life. And so when it does so, it must have rulings, commandments, ordinances for these various aspects of a human being's life. Now, when talking about these various aspects, of course, one of these aspects is this moral and ethical aspect, a spiritual aspect, a physical aspect, and of course there is this jurisprudential aspect as well. As many of you know, in the jurisprudential aspect, the different ordinances and laws, commandments, and impermissibilities are categorized into five different categories. One is something that is wajib, it is obligatory. One that it is haram, it is prohibited. One is makruh, meaning it is disliked. It is, and then you have mustahab, which is something that is preferable. And finally, you have this fifth category, which is neutral, and it is mubah. So this is the jurisprudential aspect. Now, as the Imams went on forward, we find that Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, they really emphasized these aspects. Of course, as the time and the era moved forward, there was more need for explanation in these jurisprudential aspects. Now, one of the things that in the era of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam seemed to be something that was of debate and was the topic that was spoken quite a bit about was this idea that if somebody passes in front of another while they are offering their prayers, their namaz, their salah, then that prayer is invalidated. It becomes batil. So here we find that Abu Sulaiman has this conversation with Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and Abu Sulaiman precisely asks this question regarding this subject. And he asks Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam that if somebody is praying the salah, they're praying the namaz, and somebody passes right in front of them, then their prayer becomes invalidated. It is interesting, I believe that in the jurisprudential laws of the Ahlul Sunnah brothers, that the prayer is, according to some of their schools of thought, the prayer is invalidated if somebody passes right in front of them. And so you'll kind of see them putting a chair or a barrier or something in front of them and people who are walking. Here, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he clears up the air and he says, no, prayer is not so simply invalidated. It is accepted from its keeper. So even if somebody passes right in front of you, that will not invalidate the prayers. It will not make them batil. An interesting conversation between Abu Sulaiman and Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, in which we see and we kind of understand some of the questions of that era. And of course, we realize the knowledge which is divinely given to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam on behalf of the Almighty Allah. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Held to coincide with the 10th anniversary of the demise of South African anti-apartheid icon Nelson Mandela, the 5th Convention of Solidarity with Palestine reiterated the right to resist, as struggles globally have proved the effectiveness of a multi-pronged approach to confront oppression and the colonial project.
From the river to the sea!
Hosted by Mandla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela, he recalled how his grandfather galvanized the support of frontline African states to support an effective resistance against the apartheid regime. He noted that Arab countries must adopt a similar position and shoulder their responsibility. The conference also heard that Mandela himself was called a terrorist when he resisted oppression.
He also raised arms for the African National Congress. We therefore call on each and everyone in this conference to ensure that you adopt Nelson Mandela's way. Go to your countries, mobilize resources, mobilize arms for the Palestinian resistance to effectively wage their struggle so that we can defeat the brutal apartheid regime of Israel.
Attended by a spectrum of movements from around the world, the conference considered the role of all spheres of society in activating awareness. In South Africa, for example, women and youth proved cornerstones of the resistance, often paving the way. But their cries and resolute steadfastness were heard and seen, which resulted in a global mobilization to act. Something participants say Arab countries have failed so far.
When I talk to you, I talk more in pain than in anger. We would have expected some Islamic countries who would say that they support the Palestinian cause to cut relations with the Israelis, as did South Africa, who is not an Islamic, not an Arabic country. Why they don't cut the relations with the Israelis? Why they continue to have trade with the Israelis up till now? Why? If they really have a position to say, to tell us, our people, go and make actions, we don't want to hear words.
South Africa's former intelligence minister, Ronnie Castrels, described America as the number one enemy of humanity and the key player behind the genocide in Gaza. To overcome Israel, therefore, is to confront the colonial project, racism and oppression. The discussion panels held at the conference focused on three critical areas: civil society, media, and the international system. If used correctly, these domains can ensure that accurate information is conveyed and pressure is applied, leading to international bodies being able to take action to prosecute those guilty of atrocities in Palestine. Hassan Siriyap, Johannesburg.
The northwestern tribal regions of Pakistan, known for their strong community bonds and historical resistance, witnessed an outpouring of support for the people of Palestine. Many rallies saw participants hailing from diverse backgrounds within the region, transcending ethnic and cultural differences to stand in unity with the Palestinian cause.
From north to south, Pakistanis stand with the people of Palestine. This is the land of people who always stand with the oppressed. The war on Gaza has exposed the real face of Israel and its top supporter, the U.S. This genocide has proved that Israel is a cruel and illegitimate regime.
Protesters urge the global community to take a stand against the indiscriminate bombing of Gaza, the displacement of families, and the overall human rights abuses inflicted upon the Palestinian nation.
Right and wrong ki jang keh raha hun.
This is a battle of right versus wrong. People of the world are standing with the oppressed people of Palestine. But leaders of the Arab Islamic states are silent and siding with the U.S., which I believe is against humanity.
Local leaders, activists, and religious figures address the crowds, emphasizing the need for international intervention to halt the violence and hold Israel accountable for its actions in Gaza.
They are declaring their support for innocent Palestinians. They are declaring that Israel is committing the war crimes. Israel is committing a genocide in the Gaza. And what is happening is there. We cannot stay aloof from that. We are the part of not only humanitarian grounds, but we are part of an Islamic community. We are part of the Palestinian cause.
The multifaceted response from Pakistan by blending public demonstrations and economic actions against Israel's atrocities in Gaza highlights the deeply rooted emotional connection that many Pakistanis feel with the Palestinian struggle for self-determination. Nasir Kazmi, Kohar District of Northwestern Pakistan.
Hundreds of protesters amassed outside of the White House over the weekend.
Plain and simple, it's a genocide. Over 20,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli bombs.
And protesters are concerned that the numbers of the dead will grow. They railed against the recent Israeli offensive against Palestinians in Gaza, crowding Lafayette Park and surrounding areas.
I think every day about the children in jail. They're the children in indefinite detention who don't get trials, who can't talk to their parents. That is probably the thing that breaks my heart the most.
The demonstration comes after a temporary ceasefire ended and the Israeli military resumed its ground operations against Gazans.
The White House has become a constant backdrop for those who are upset over the constant bombardment over Gaza as the death toll rises. Protesters say there are many who are conflating Zionism with Judaism, but they say there's a major difference, and they're urging President Biden to change his relationship with Israeli leaders.
Directly in front of the White House, others gathered for a die-in, lying on the ground, pretending to be dead, calling attention to the thousands of lives lost in Gaza.
We actually are massively proud and happy of the fact that we have so many Jewish Americans that have been joining us, including many that are laying their bodies on the ground right now behind me.
Health Ministry officials in Gaza report that Israeli attacks have killed more than 15,000 Palestinians in Gaza since the beginning of October. Over 190 Palestinians have died since a truce expired on Friday.
And literally, we've had politicians in front of the Capitol the other day tell me, well, they deserved it. I turned around to one of the congressmen and I said, how did a one-year-old child deserve it? And he literally shrugged his shoulders and walked off.
Demonstrators say they'll continue to protest over what they call U.S. support for war and global conflict. This is sure to be an issue for voters in 2024 and Biden's re-election bid. Colin Campbell, Washington.
With the participation of Palestinian Scout Associations and children under 16 years old, Palestinian resistance factions organized a rally this Saturday in front of the UNICEF headquarters in Damascus to show solidarity with the children in Gaza. This after the representatives of international organizations refused to accept the children's letter, pushing them to publicize their message instead.
The Israeli army deliberately bombed hospitals, including Al-Ahli, Al-Shifa, Al-Quds, and the Indonesian. All the hospitals were put out of service because of the Israeli and American warplanes that kill and mutilate bodies.
We demand UNICEF to fulfill its responsibilities in helping protect civilian infrastructure, such as schools, hospitals, and water stations, and to ensure the provision of basic medical and food supplies for Gaza's children.
The children staged a performance on the massacres committed by the Israeli regime against kids in Palestine. They also chanted slogans and carried banners condemning war crimes committed against children and demanded the removal of the blockade imposed on Gaza.
Palestinian children amidst the rubble remain steadfast in the path of resistance. We will not surrender and will only bow before God. The Palestinian child fully understands that resistance is the only and optimal choice for the liberation of Palestine.
We are here to support the children of Gaza, and we call on the United Nations to support them, provide milk to them, and to help us stop attacks on hospitals and schools as they are safe zones for children.
The children affirmed that future generations will increasingly embrace resistance as the sole path to reclaim their occupied lands and to restore their legitimate rights, especially after they have witnessed the total failure of the international community to stop the bloodshed in Gaza.
Every child in the world must have access to medical care, clean water, healthy food, and a safe environment. But the children of Gaza don't even know if they will live to see another day. Yet, with innocence and resilience, they resist the Israeli tyranny. Ibrahim Wahdib, Damascus.
Dubbed Earth and Freedom, the latest demonstration in support of the people of Gaza was staged in Rome's northern suburb of Monte Sacro on Friday. The initiative, organized by a string of groups including the Student Collective for Palestine, the anti-Zionist movement in solidarity with the Palestinian people, and some housing movements, took place as Israel resumed air raids in Gaza after a seven-day pause in fighting.
Students from across Italy have been rallying in support of Palestinians because they are aware of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, the largest open-air concentration camp in the world. Meanwhile, the whole of the international community stays silent.
As bombardments have resumed in Gaza, we are trying to organize as many initiatives as possible in support of the Palestinians. Today, we are also calling on Carrefour to end its complicity in Israel's slaughtering of Gazans.
Also on Friday, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Movement launched the Boycott Carrefour campaign, calling on supporters of Palestinian rights in Italy to boycott the international supermarket chain Carrefour. The multinational retailer has been often accused of supporting Israel's illegal settlement activities in the West Bank, and it has been described by some activists as, quote, a genocide facilitator.
The West must stop the Zionists if it really intends to help the Jews. Only a Zionist sick mind can call Palestinians human animals, a language which incites genocidal actions. It's time to drop the policy of controlled chaos in the Middle East.
The war has killed more than 15,500 Palestinians so far, including at least 6,150 children. Due to Israeli bombardment, about 60% of homes in Gaza have been destroyed, while at least 50,000 families are now homeless.
Hundreds of demonstrations have taken place in solidarity with Palestinians in Italy since October 7, and more will be held in upcoming days in different Italian cities, including Turin, Genoa, and Oristano. Max Civili, Rome.
Crowds of Yemeni protesters rallied in the streets of the capital Sana'a, reaffirming their staunch support for Palestinians against the Israeli occupying enemy.
The masses of Yemeni people who came out today confirm the continuation of our full support for our brothers in Palestine. This includes the distant efforts until the liberation of Palestine and the eradication of the Zionist enemy.
Protesters also expressed their readiness to support the Palestinians at all costs and provide the Palestinian resistance with money and men until decisive victory over the Israeli regime is achieved.
The people came out today like a flood to confirm that we are returning to the war with the Zionist entity. We are also here to direct a message to the Zionist enemy that its return to the war means that the end of its existence, the end of this entity, and the end of this enemy.
According to Yemeni military officials, Yemen is expecting that the U.S. and other Western powers would try to take advantage of the Red Sea. The officials have warned that any act of hostility by Israel or the United States will be met with unprecedented force.
We already knew that the U.S. would try to move in on us from the Red Sea, and for that we have prepared tremendously. We have prepared for them in a number of locations and in a number of fields. Our armed forces are prepared. Our Navy forces are prepared.
The U.S. Department of Defense has sent several warnings to Ansar Allah movement not to get involved in tensions in Palestine amid a brutal Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip. However, as the leader of Ansar Allah, Abdel Malik al-Houthi, stated, Yemen is not the nation that takes its orders from the U.S.
The resumption of Israeli airstrikes against the besieged Gaza Strip means the Yemeni army will resume its military efforts against the Israeli regime by launching drones and ballistic missiles against the Israeli entity. This also includes the capture or seizure of any Israeli-linked ship in the Red Sea. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
Ongoing boycott campaign against pro-Israeli products has set in motion a transformative period for Western businesses in Pakistan. Faced with a resounding call for boycott, pro-US and pro-Israeli companies find themselves compelled to make strategic adjustments. In response, these outlets have slashed their product prices by up to 50%, a desperate measure to bring customers back to their shops. However, the people of Pakistan remain steadfast in their commitment to uphold the boycott as a demonstration of solidarity with the oppressed communities in Gaza.
I am fully behind the boycott against pro-US and pro-Israeli companies. It's heartbreaking to witness the ongoing war crimes in Gaza, and it's time we use our consumer power to send a strong message.
Boycotting is our way of expressing solidarity with the innocent lives affected by the war on Gaza. These pro-Israeli and pro-US companies must understand that we won't support businesses linked to such atrocities. It's time to prioritize humanity over profit.
The people of Pakistan vowed to continue their boycott campaign till the complete ceasefire in Gaza.
These companies need to be held accountable for their affiliations with the U.S. and Israel, and our collective stand can make a real difference.
The boycott has cast a shadow over the sales of superstores selling Western products in Pakistan, prompting a strategic shift in their offerings, giving more prominence to locally sourced items.
In response to intense boycott pressure, pro-Israeli companies are offering substantial discounts as a strategic move to regain customer trust after aligning with the U.S. and Israel. This shows the complex interactions between geopolitical developments, consumer behavior, and national socio-political structures. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Khushvaqt. Please stay tuned.
سجاد صلوات الله السلام علیه اشاره کردن به این حقوق کم از افرادی که حقی از حقوق رو ضایع نکرده باشند.
Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, the fourth Shiite Imam, mentions the rights that humans should regard towards Allah the Almighty, themselves and each other. He also mentions the fact that there are only a few people in each community who have not oppressed anyone's rights. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam advises us on compensating for the oppressed rights in this world rather than leaving it for the hereafter. According to Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, there is time and chance in this world for compensation, and it is, of course, much easier to return the oppressed rights in this world. Imam believes that if we do not return the rights we have wasted in this world, making them up in the hereafter will be much more difficult. There are notes by Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam in his supplication collection about regarding the rights. We can use these guidelines and advices in our life. Another issue, which is mentioned by Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, which stems from the communicative life, is envy. People become jealous about each other when live together and see what things they may lack and others have. Sometimes it happens that someone hopes others to be deprived of their blessings simply because he does not have them.
محشوری علی ذنوب منو محشور کن که نتونم خلاف قانون و گناهی مرتکب بشم.
In phrases of Imam As-Sajjad's supplication, we read about asking God to stop us from committing sins and to put obstacles in our way. This is because we are in many occasions ready to commit sins, but things happen and stop us from doing them. So we see that Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam asked God to keep him away from forbidden deeds. Imam also asks God to stop him from breaking the laws. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam here also talks about finding courage to continue committing sins. If we keep committing small sins, this will give us a false courage to commit bigger sins indeed. So one of the threats for God's servants is to insist on committing small sins and gradually become a permanent sinner. So Imam asks God to help him not to find the courage for committing sins. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam continues and asks God to give him the passion to love Allah, because this will help him to stay away from sins. If we like someone, we try our best not to do anything against him or against his will. Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam eventually asked God to help him to follow the divine instructions. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Khushvaqt. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care, and goodbye.
selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد،
recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
In the limelight.
Pro-Palestinian activists in Britain have blockaded a factory that makes military drones for the Israeli army in Leicester, England. We take a look at some of the British press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. Pro-Palestinian protesters have gathered outside the office of the real estate consulting company Fisher German in London, demanding the closure of the company due to its ties with the Israeli weapons company Elbit Systems. Protesters gathered in the British capital on Wednesday, 29th of November, to mark the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, calling for an immediate end to arms supplies to Israel amid the regime's ongoing war in Gaza. The crowd denounced Fisher German Company for leasing properties to Elbit Systems and declared this Israeli company as the perpetrator of genocide against the people of Gaza Strip. They demanded to shut down the company. They held Palestinian flags and chanted pro-Palestinian slogans such as Free Palestine, and from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Similar protests took place across the United Kingdom in places like Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool, as part of a coordinated national action. Fisher German is the landlord for Elbit Systems, Israel's largest private arms company that supplies the Israeli military with 85% of drones used against Palestinians. The British government has been criticized for being complicit in Israel's ongoing crimes in the Gaza Strip. Two of Israel's biggest weapons factories, Elbit and Rafael, both have operations in the United Kingdom. British pro-Palestinian activists have been targeting Elbit factories for more than 2 years. Britain, the United States, and the European Union member states have been providing the Israeli regime with weapons and military assistance since the regime launched its brutal genocidal campaign in Gaza on 7th of October. Since then, people across Britain and other parts of the world have held many protests and demonstrations showing their solidarity with the Palestinian people. People in the United Kingdom continue to protest against the Israeli regime's crimes in Gaza, demanding a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. The protest organizers say as long as the killing continues, they will continue to demonstrate. The British newspaper The Morning Star has also covered this story and tells us more. Pro-Palestinian activists in the United Kingdom blockaded a factory that makes military drones for the Israeli army in Leicester, England, in solidarity with Palestinians of the Gaza Strip. Activists from Palestine Action organized a demonstration recently at UAV Tactical Systems in Meridian East Business Park, which is owned by Israeli arms manufacturer Elbit Systems. They blockaded the entrance to the site by chaining themselves to a van or lying in front of cars. Palestine Action said in a statement, UAV Tactical Systems is a joint venture of Elbit Systems, Israel's largest arms manufacturer, and the French arms company Thales. It added, "Today's action is a concrete form of solidarity with the Palestinians under attack, while Western governments insist on supporting the Israeli regime to the hilt despite growing public opposition." It also said that it will continue to confront British complicity in the genocide of Gaza until all links between Britain and Israel have been broken, making a reference to Israel's incessant war on hospitals in the besieged Gaza Strip. The statement added, "Palestine Action last hit the U.S. TACX site," making a reference to Israel's incessant war on hospitals in the besieged Gaza Strip. The statement added, "Palestine Action last hit the UTACS site following the massacre of over 500 people in the Al-Ahli Arabi Baptist Hospital in Gaza. And recently, the world has once again witnessed the brutal attack and occupation of Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza by the Israeli army." Elbit Systems is notoriously known as Israel's number one arms manufacturer. It makes killer drones, making up 85% of Israel's drone fleet. Palestine Action has been targeting Elbit Systems' factory for more than 2 years. It has laid siege to the company in locations across Britain, leading to permanent closure of two sites, including the London headquarters of Elbit Systems and a factory in Greater Manchester in northwest England, and costing the company more than £400 million in lost contacts with the British Ministry of Defence. Yael Khan, an activist protesting at the site, said, "This company is a terrorist arms manufacturer for Israel. Its sole existence is to destroy Palestinian life, to massacre Palestinians, to murder them, and to exterminate them. That's what Israel is doing with the help of this company, Elbit Systems, producing death and destruction and making profits from Palestinian blood. And it is doing it from the very heart of the city of Leicester in England." The Middle East Eye has also covered the same story. Several university students in the United Kingdom have been targeted for taking part in pro-Palestine rallies as the British government continues to back the Israeli regime's atrocities in Gaza. According to a report from UK-based news website published on Saturday, 2nd of December, a group of four students and three alumni at the School of Oriental and African Studies, part of London University, were suspended recently for allegedly violating health and safety protocols by taking part in two pro-Palestine rallies. Members of the group, some of whom belong to the School of Oriental and African Studies Palestine Society Committee, took part in two rallies, one on 29th of September during the Student Union Freshers' Fair and another outside the main entrance of the university on 9th of October, shortly after the Israeli regime forces began their strikes on Gaza. According to an internal report by the University of London, cited by Middle East Eye, the suspended students allegedly moved towards the entrance and attempted to occupy a staircase at one of the rallies. The report adds that a fire alarm went off shortly after the abortive attempt. The students have denied the allegations cited in the report, demanding that they be allowed to return to their classes. The Palestine Society said in a statement posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, "This is a targeted act of political repression against pro-Palestine students." In the meantime, British police are on standby as more than 40 pro-Palestine protests are expected to be held across the country in the coming days after an extended seven-day ceasefire expired on Friday, 1st of December.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrowshahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhide kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the thoughts, religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Shiite dignitaries and personalities. And in the new series, we are mainly concerned with outstanding women in Islam, especially the Shiite Islam. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai are the two special guest speakers from the Islamic Hafza Afghan. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Rouhani. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the life account of the wife of Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam and the mother of Imam al-Reza alayhi salam and Lady Fatimatul Masuma Najmi Khatun. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some details about the early life and the biography of Najmi Khatun.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The outstanding lady, Najma Khatun, mother of Imam Reza alayhi salatu wassalam and Imam Kazim's wife, and who is also mother of Lady Masuma salamullahi alayha, was a servant that mother of Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam, actually Imam Sadiq's wife, gave her to Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam. And of course, according to the riwayat, some of the narrations, Hamida, Imam yes. Sadiq's wife, in yes. a dream, actually saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who granted her the lady Najma Khatun, mother of Imam Rida alayhi salatu wassalam.
That's right. So where was she originally from?
She was from Africa, the city called really? Nuba, which okay. is the north part of Africa. She was born there. Mm-hmm. Or there's an island called Marsi. as well in the south part of France.
These
Marseille, two places,
Marseille.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, of course. They say that she was from this place.
Isn't it certain she was certainly from Africa? Or
yes, of course.
That's all right. A really interesting topic. We'll talk about it. Sheikh Fadai, it's really interesting. Why, for example, a lady from African continent or Marseille Island, for example, in Thousand France, would come, for example, to the Islamic lands and then becomes the wife of a holy imam. What was this story exactly? I mean, how this link happened on that time?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The most important point, which is good to focus on, is that different regions and different countries, different tribes, they are not important in our Islamic viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this virtuous lady was from Africa,
yes,
or in some accounts from France.
Yes.
In our Holy Quran, we have وَجَعَلْنَكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. It means, yes, there are different tribes.
Yes.
There are different countries, but this is not the criterion.
Mm-hmm.
The criterion to be the best or the better one is taqwa.
Yes.
No, in the wars or in maybe some trades, people used to go to other countries.
Yes.
Maybe by force or by their will. It's not important. But this change used to happen all around the world. So this lady, as a servant,
Najmeh Khatun.
Yes, Najmeh Khatun.
Najmeh means what? Means a star or something?
Yes, Najmeh is Najmeh is muzakkar. Najmeh is muannas.
Khatun means lady or something
lady,
like that. That's
yes.
Right.
Okay. Literally, it means the lady star.
Lady star, which is very,
very
beautiful.
Beautiful,
okay.
Name.
Yes.
So she was transferred to Hijaz at that time, and Ahlul Bayt, Imam Qazan, didn't ask him and force her to work in their house just as a servant. When they saw that this one is a virtuous one, they took care of her,
yes,
and they respected her,
yes,
and even they got married with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, among Arabs, it was a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage with servants,
okay,
what a shame.
Okay.
For the people who were in the
You mean in terms
highest,
of the classes of the
yes,
society and
for
social
the high
caste,
classes
yes.
of society,
oh.
It was a shame. Only the low-level people in the society
mm-hmm.
used to get married
okay.
with the servants.
Mm-hmm.
But our imams wanted to show us and teach us that this is a wrong custom.
Inna
akramakum inda Allah atqakum.
Yes.
Whether she's an ordinary lady or whether she's a servant,
okay.
this is not important.
Really?
Whether she's Arab or she's not, as
mm-hmm.
she was not an Arab person.
Yes.
At that time, marrying with non-Arab, marrying with servant, there was shame. But they broke these customs, these wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that she was a wife of Imam, mother
yes.
of Imam,
yes.
and we respect him. And, of course,
yes.
they had tomb in the Hijaz,
yes.
but Wahhabi people, they
yes.
Destroyed the tomb. And now, unfortunately...
People can, for example, Mashraba Umm Ibrahim Cemetery
yeah.
in Medina, they can Google and search for the buildings which were over there, some cemeteries and buildings and the domes attributed to Najmeh Khatun, mother of Imam Reza alayhi salam. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, give us some information about the status of this lady. An African woman coming from African continent to Hijaz and Medina, becoming the wife of an imam and the mother of Council Imam Reza alayhi salam. She must be of high status, isn't it?
Yes, of course. As it was mentioned before earlier that Umm Hamida, the wife of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, saw in a dream the Holy Prophet. So the Holy Prophet told her that you have to grant Imam al-Kadhim with this servant, with this lady, because she's going to give birth to the most outstanding or to the most, let's say, pious and the best, let's say, creatures, who is Imam Rida alayhi salatu wassalam. So that's why also from the Imam al-Kadhim, also this narration is narrated that the marriage of this lady with Imam al-Kadhim was due to the dream in which the Holy Prophet ﷺ asked Lady Hamida, the wife of Imam al-Sadiq, to do that and to give this lady to Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wassalam. In some of the riwayat from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wassalam, it is narrated that we do not have any servant more virtuous than Najma,
yes,
the Lady Najma. Mm-hmm. So that's why this riwaya, which is narrated by Shaykh Saduq Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi, it is an authentic narration that is narrated by him. So it shows the high status of Lady Najma, yeah, of course, and the riwayat and ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam.
And we have to say again that this servant-master relation is very much different from the type of slavery that was rampant on that time in the Arab Peninsula. It means that the holy imams and Prophet Muhammad tried to reform this way up to an extent that, as you said, a lady who is coming from Africa, becomes working as a servant in the house, can be the mother of a Shiite infallible imams. Nowadays, you know, the people around the world, the Shiites, so the mothers and the related ones have respect for these people too.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Even it is mentioned that during the pregnancy of this lady, there was a story that she was not feeling, for example, the weight of the baby, and the baby, that is Imam al-Raza alayhi salam, was doing tasbih, you know. Is this a story authentic, Sheikh Fadai?
Yes, of course.
And talk a little bit for us about this case. I mean, of being the mother to an imam, it must be very much, we can say, special for a lady.
And of course, you know, a lady which is chosen to be mother of imam cannot be a usual one, mm-hmm, because the son is not the usual one.
Yes.
But for some people like Najma Khatun, we can see a considerable change,
mm-hmm,
before and after being with Ahlul Bayt.
Okay.
That is why we say that slavery in Islam is not like slavery in the previous time.
Yes.
Like we call,
you mean early Islam at the time of Jahiliyyah period. That's right.
Yes,
that's
ignorance.
Right.
You know, in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the age of ignorance, slavery means to force people, mm-hmm, to work for you, and even they were free to kill these slaves whenever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But in Islam changed this threat to an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Islam used this opportunity as a school, mm-hmm, to teach people. You know, when we say Najma Khatun is a servant,
yes,
what does it mean? It means that she was not a Muslim.
Yes.
Unless you cannot call a servant.
Yes.
But what happened to her,
mm-hmm,
after she was transferred to Hijaz,
yes,
in the house of Ahlul Bayt, we can see in our riwayat that she was always busy with worshiping God, saying,
yes,
tasbih and tahleel.
Yes.
So what a significant change.
Mm-hmm.
A kafir changing to someone worshiping all the time.
Yes.
And even she was able to hear the voice of Imam Reza,
mm-hmm,
when she was pregnant. You know, this is a miracle.
Yes.
These miracles cannot happen for a usual one.
This is really fascinating how the people with the same language were living in Hijaz and Medina. They were not believing in the holy imams and their beliefs, but a lady from far lands comes and believes. This shows, we can say, as we said, the purity of the heart, the purified, we can say, soul of this lady.
Yes. From other country, from other tribe, from
with
other
different
language.
That's right. This
You know, this means that the change is possible.
Uh-huh.
We can change. Why not? This is a lesson that we can take from the life of people like Najma Khatun. We can change completely in our life.
That's all right. Are there any, for example, other documents showing us that, for example, we can say, how was the relation between this mother and son? She was the mother to Lady Fatimah al-Masuma too, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
So from the same mother.
Imam Reza and Lady Fatimah were from the same mother.
Same mother, that's right. Yes. Okay. As we said, that was a real reform, we can say. And the lifestyle and the seerah of these ladies can be a nice role model for the Muslim ladies today who want to become mother, isn't it? I mean, pregnancy in Islam has its own etiquette, Sheikh Badai. It has its own etiquette. It has its own, we can say, necessities, isn't it? It is not like, for example, like being pregnant and do nothing, or, for example, do not observe any special etiquettes in Islam.
You know, these days, I think it is vice versa. Mm-hmm. When we have a special status and situation, yes, usually forget our religion. For yes, example, in the night of celebrating our wedding,
yes,
even the religious people, yes, forget about their religious, yes, duties. Or when someone is pregnant, she feels that, for example, saying prayer or, I don't know, doing du'as, these are hard for her, and they forget about it. But when we look at Lady, mm-hmm, Najma Khatun,
yes,
we can see that this is different. She always did tasbih and tahlil, even, yes, after giving birth to Imam Reza.
Yes.
She asked Imam Al-Kadhim, mm-hmm, to hire someone in order to help her in the house,
right,
doing the jobs for the kid in order, mm-hmm, to be busy with worshiping God.
Yes.
She didn't want to leave some part of ibadah.
Yes.
She needed help. She asked another servant to help,
okay,
her. So that is the real Islam, mm-hmm, and the Islamic lifestyle.
That's color. All right. Thank you very much. Colored people nowadays all around the world are looking for their rights, for their freedom. I think the lifestyle of the Shiite infallible imams can be a nice role model for them, that during the history of Islam, there were some people who respectfully observed the rights of the colored people and the colored lady up to an extent that they married them. This could be a nice lesson for the people who are looking after their rights nowadays in the 21st century. As we said at the beginning of the program, she was buried in Mashraba Umm Ibrahim in a region called Al-Awali in Medina in the eastern part of Baqi Cemetery. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding lady, Najma Khatun, the mother of Imam Reza alayhi salam and Lady Fatimah al-Masuma. Sheikh Fadai, thank you very much. And Sheikh Rouhani, thank you for your presence in the program, The Teacher. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.